Father, as we come to you today, God, we need you to speak to us, to show us your word, to show us your will, your way, to provide comfort, and Lord, to show us how we can be lights for your gospel during this time. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing us a way to be able to still be tied together and to worship you. And Lord, I pray that now as we open your word, that all that are hearing would be pointed to your answers, be pointed to your truth, be pointed to the comfort that you provide. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, if you will, please, with me, take your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is a wonderful story and narrative in the Old Testament that I believe is going to give us great courage and strength today as we look at it. And as we look at Scripture in these next few weeks, I really want us to see how we can respond and how we can walk in these times. And how we can walk by faith. A couple years ago, Andrew and I were tasked with taking the kids to the North Pole of Texas around Christmas time. And the wives were taking care of some different things. I can't remember the whole situation and everything that was going on around it. But Nicole and I had just purchased a new car. We had just got a new Chrysler Pacifica, the van that we drive to haul all of our children around in. And so Andrew and I loaded up the van, put all the kids in all the seats and in a couple more spots as well. And we take off, and the North Pole of Texas is somewhere around Como, Texas. It's out in the sticks. And so we use GPS, and we turn on GPS, and we look for the shortest route, and it routed our way and the different places to go. And so we take off, and we get there, we have a good time, but then night falls, and it becomes night. So we plug in our GPS again to get back to my in-law's house, and GPS begins to route us all these different ways. We're looking for the shortest route. Well, out in East Texas, there's a lot of little things called county roads. And as we began to drive on our way back, we began to notice that GPS didn't care about the condition of the road. GPS only wanted to get us to our final destination. It didn't bother to ask us how comfortable we wanted to be on the way. Because as we were driving, all of a sudden these county roads went from some pavement to no pavement, to dirt, to barely seeing the tracks in the road where cars have gone down before it. You know, the old time paths with just the two wheel wells and then the big patch of grass. But to add to that, to make matters worse, it had been raining. And so what could have been a sure path was now filled with puddles and potholes that we did not know were there. And I remember us turning down this one way, and we're looking down this road, and there's a kind of a fork in the road, and we're looking at GPS, and we're wondering, and we're like, well, this road connects up here, and this one has a huge lake of a puddle in that fork. I don't think we're getting this van through that. So let's go down this way. And so we go down this road, and all of a sudden, boy, the back tire starts sliding a little bit. I hit the gas a little bit. We're moving and going as fast as we can, trying to get ourselves through this, and we make it back to pavement at some point in time. I'll never forget, Andrew was getting out of the van. He said, boy, I'm sold on this van. And then, of course, he ends up getting one for Stephanie as well. You know, sometimes we follow GPS and we don't always know how the roads are going to connect, but we're trusting that it's going to get us home. We're trusting it's going to get us to our destination. You know, today we are living in a time where walking by faith is a necessity. I like the way that Paul says it and when he talks about this in Scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, he says, "For we know that if the tent, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groaned, being burdened not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him." You see, in this earthly home, in this body that we have, we can have courage by walking through faith. And God has prepared for us this very thing. We today have a great opportunity to show the hope, the courage, the life that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. And to walk by faith, we need eyes to see. I want you to look with me at this story here in 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, we're going to see the prophet Elisha and his dealings with Syria. In verse 8 it says, "Once, when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, 'At such and such a place shall be my camp.' But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there.' And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and he said to them, 'Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.' And he said, 'Go, see where he is, that I may send and seize him.' And it was told him, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning, he went out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' He said, 'Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please strike this people with blindness.' So he struck them with blindness in accordance to the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, 'This is not the way. This is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek.' And he led them to Samaria." What an incredible story. To see how God worked in the midst of this circumstance. I mean, we're in the middle of a war. We're seeing Syria is raiding and warring with Israel. And Israel is this northern kingdom. We're in the time of Israel where they were a divided kingdom. You had Israel in the north. You had Judah in the south. in Syria is warring with Israel. The king of Israel is being protected by Elisha, which the king at this time was Joram. He was a son of Ahab, and he was not the best of kings either. He followed along the lines of Ahab and followed in a line of sin. But here in this time, Syria is seeking to defeat Israel. They're warring with him, and Elisha continues to protect. He continues to warn, hey, king, don't go over there. Syria's on its way. It's the great wartime advisor that he needed. And so the king of Syria is getting mad. He's looking at the situation. It's angering him. Who is the spy? Who's the mole? Who's the one that is sending out the info? Who's, you know, telegraphing our every move? And the people say, it's none of us. It's the prophet Elisha. So they surround Elisha in Dothan. This situation looked dire. It looked terrible. They were totally surrounded. The servant boy wakes up to find that there is an army completely surrounding two people. The odds are not in their favor. I'll never forget reading through the memoirs of one of my all-time favorite leaders, Dick Winters, from the Easy Company and in Band of Brothers. And in his memoirs, he talks about the characteristics of being a paratrooper. They had a mindset that we're always going to be totally surrounded. We're going to be jumping in enemy lines. We're going to be behind the lines. We're going to be completely surrounded. So they trained hard for that aspect. And there on D-Day, in his memoirs, he wrote, once the battle began, discipline and training overcame our individual and collective fears. That when we are surrounded, when circumstances look dire around us, we can remember our disciplines. We can remember our training. We can remember by faith the content of the Word of God that helps us to see we have an answer when circumstances look dire around us. So even as we find ourselves in unfamiliar territory, we are poised at a moment to walk by faith. And I want you to see how having eyes to see impacted this story. So having eyes to see and walking by faith, here's what it does. The first thing it does is faith opens eyes. Faith opens eyes. Notice there in verse 15, when the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. Can you imagine? One thing I've always wondered in looking at this story, did Elisha already see the chariots? Did he already see the angels and the chariots of fire surrounding them? Or did he just trust and know God that they were there? Either way, Elisha prays, open the eyes of my servant. Let him see. Faith opens eyes. The servant saw the physical situation. But what would bring such hope to that physical situation? Walking by faith. Because when his eyes were open, he saw God's provision. He saw the angel armies that were surrounding them. Can you imagine after that prayer and looking up and all of a sudden seeing the heavenly host that's around them? Can you imagine the strength and the encouragement? Okay, you know what? We're going to be all right. And he looks up and sees the angel army. He saw God's provision. Faith allows us to see God's provision even in the hard times. He also saw God's work. Because not only does he see the angel armies, he then sees what Elisha does with the king of Syria. Verse 18, and when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. So there in the midst of it, we see God's work, and the servants saw God working in the blinding of the Syrians. He opens the eyes of the servant. He blinds the eyes of the Syrians. And he watches the Syrian army begin to follow Elisha through this. he then saw God's reward. Look at verse 20. An interesting aspect of what happens here. You would think, all right, Elisha's got him poised. He's got him in a position. The king of Israel now can come in. Boy, they can wipe out Syria and this can end it. But notice, watch what happens. Verse 20. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down? He answered, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you've taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they did go to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. You see what God does in the midst of this situation? When Elisha prays for the servant to have his eyes opened, he sees God's provision, he sees God's work, but then he sees God's reward. How does this happen? There in the midst of all of this is grace and peace through what God is doing. Sometimes when we're in the middle of being surrounded, we don't always see the outcome, but understand that God is working to an outcome. And in this story, we see an outcome of grace and peace, that the Syrians are no longer raiding Israel through it. You see, faith is an instrument of perception. It allows us to see the world differently. Faith has two components. It has the component of belief, where we put our belief, we put our trust. And the other component is in content. That there is something that we put our belief, there is something that we put our content, or put our trust into, and that is the content. Faith opens our eyes to see that God's content is 100% reality. When you look through the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, you see the hall of faith. You see men and women who acted as if God's promises were 100% reality. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By faith, Joshua. By faith, Enoch. By faith, we see these actions and we see these things come about because of the content that God is a 100% reality. You know, this morning, folks, we do not always know the reason why we go through a trial during that trial. But we do know always during the trial that God is faithful. God is trustworthy. The servant's eyes were opened. He saw God's provision. He saw God's work. He saw God's reward. And he saw God work through a dire situation to see a resolution through warring nations. We don't always know the outcome, but we do trust the God of the outcome. Faith will open your eyes to see God's trustworthiness. You know what's amazing is you know those people in your life that have seen this. Those who have lived and seen God faithful. Those that have seen God work. Those are the ones that in the midst of trying times, they're the ones that are calm. They're the ones that have a peace. They're the ones that are stable. They're the ones that are the rock and the influences of stability in our lives. They say things like, God's going to provide. God knows. God is faithful. You know what? Even in these days, we shall see God work through these upcoming days and these upcoming weeks. Faith opens our eyes. The second thing it does is faith utilizes prayer. Faith utilizes prayer. Did you notice that that was Elisha's response in the midst of all this? Verse 17, then Elisha prayed, and said, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." In verse 18, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." We see trust from Elisha and we see prayer. Open the eyes of the servant. We see trust and prayer blind the eyes of the Syrians. You see, when we have the eyes to see through faith, you act then in trust. And prayer is the action of trust. You know, trusting God does not mean that you pray less. And then you go through this life less with God. I'm just going to trust God through this. No, trusting God means that you go through this life praying more. Seeking His will. Seeking His way. I trust that the content of my faith and I act on it. What's sad is too many are acting better on their false content than we are on our true content. Prayer is that barometer of our faith. And if we see God as 100% reality, we will utilize prayer. We will take our request before Him. We will seek His will. We will seek His counsel. We will seek His working in our life. We will say with Jeremiah 33:3, "I will call unto the Lord and I will, and He will answer you and tell you great and hidden things which you know not." Faith utilizes prayer. Then also we see here that faith trusts God. Faith trusts God. So having eyes to see shows us that God is trustworthy in good times and bad. And here in this situation, in this story with Elisha and the servant, we see that God immediately steps in. He opens the eyes of the servant and he sees how God's working. Sometimes we see God do things immediately, but then sometimes you can say, "You know what, I've been praying, I've been asking God for years to work through this situation, and I haven't seen Him do it yet." How is it opening my eyes? Well, I want you to understand something. There is something important in this story about the setting, about where they're at. You see, here in the city in which Elisha's in right now is Dothan. You know that Dothan is only mentioned two times in Scripture? And in both times, the people in the situation are in a dire circumstance. We see it here in 2 Kings chapter 6, and we see Elisha and his servants surrounded by the Syrian army. We see God immediately step in and deliver. The other time that we see Dothan in Scripture is in Genesis 37:17. This is where Joseph is asked by his father to go find his brothers. And Joseph at this time was not liked by his brothers. He had the dreams that they would bow and worship him. They didn't like little brother Joseph. And then Joseph is sent to go and to find his brothers. And they tell him, they're over there, they're feeding the flocks. They're in Dothan. In Genesis 37:17, we see them in Dothan. And Joseph comes to them. And he comes to them when they have conspired against Joseph. And they're in Dothan. They put Joseph in a pit and they sell him to slavery. And we see a dire circumstance. We see things falling apart around Joseph. His own flesh and blood are selling him off into slavery because he knows that they hate him. And we don't see God immediately intervene in Joseph's life. It's not until years later that we see in Genesis chapter 45 when Joseph has gone through slavery, has gone through being a servant in Potiphar's house, being falsely accused there, being thrown into jail, working his way up through jail, then working his way up in the house of Pharaoh, being second in command now over all of Egypt. And there in Genesis 45, his brothers then come walking in because there's a famine in the land. And when he could have taken every opportunity to exact revenge, Joseph had the wisdom to understand, to trust God, that in the midst of all that delay, God was working to save people alive. So whether we see the situation as we do with Elisha and the servant of God immediately stepping in and pulling them out of the situation, or do we see the situation in Dothan that we see with Joseph, that the dire circumstances go on for years and years and years, we know that we can trust God to save people through it. God works directly in the life of Elisha and his servant, and he pulls them out. In Joseph, God works through a long period of time for a resolution. But in both places, God works to save people through it. God may work out your trials, or he may work in your trials. Either way, God is faithful. Whether God pulls you out directly or uses you through the situations, he is trustworthy. And that's what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50 in verse 20. When his brothers have come to him, their father has passed away, and they're thinking, all right, now he's been waiting. He's been waiting to honor dad. Now dad's out of the way. He is really going to take it out on us. He's going to get his revenge. And that would be the natural thing to do. But no, this is what Joseph said. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Joseph didn't take revenge on his brothers. He didn't complain about all that he went through. He didn't hold it over their heads and say, do you know what you put me through? You know how many days I spent as a slave? You know how many times I was put into prison? He didn't hold it over them. He didn't shame them in guilt. And although he sat there through the whole situation and trusted that God was working to save people alive. Faith, trust God. So even today, when it's easy to complain, to gripe, when to look at the hoarders, we still have an opportunity to walk by faith, to trust God, and to see people come to Him. You know, walking by faith does not mean knowing all the answers. It means trusting and following God who does. And it is not a means of courage. It's not a means of hope and power because of our ability, but rather because of God's. You see, in the situation with Elisha and the situation with Joseph, and we're seeing eyes opened and eyes to see, what we see is that the power in faith streams from the reality of God. It is the content of our faith that sustains our belief, because no matter what's going on around us, no matter the changes, no matter the circumstances, no matter the things that go around in our life, it's not our power of belief that provides the strength of faith. It is the content of our faith, and that content is a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who doesn't change. And because of that content, we can put our belief in Him and have power today. It streams from the reality of God. Because belief does not make the content. Just because I believe something does not make it real. Because growing up, I believed I could play in the NBA. But that didn't make the content real. Just because I believe something doesn't make it real. The content adds power to our belief in that content. And today, folks, our content sense with the fact that there is an empty tomb. That because Jesus Christ raised from the dead, we know that the cross was effective. We know that what He did in offering His blood for our sacrifice, for our atonement, was effective because God raised Him from the dead, and that tomb was empty. And there is a changed lives because of it. And that empty tomb tells us that there is hope in our content, that there is power in our content, that there can be courage because of our content. We know that God has made a way and His name is Jesus. We trust in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ as that content of our faith. And that content is allowing us that power in our belief. It's by faith and belief in the content of Jesus Christ alone that we have salvation. Having eyes to see so that we can walk by faith begins with seeing Jesus Christ as the answer to our greatest problems of sin and death. That's why faith is our best line of defense. Because it sees God's reality. It trusts God's word. And it relies on God's promises. So today, we can walk by faith, and we do so by beginning with trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. This morning, as you're there watching, if there's never been a time in your life where you have put your belief in the content of Jesus Christ, I want to let you know today that all you have to do is to admit, to recognize, I am a sinner. I can never be good enough. I can never take away my sin. I admit that I am a sinner. And you believe that Jesus Christ came and He died on the cross to take away that sin. He was buried and He rose again to conquer death and bring life. And you put your belief in Jesus Christ alone, not your works, but in Jesus Christ alone. And then you confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, that Jesus is Lord. And this morning, right where you're at, in your homes and in your living rooms, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ alone by doing those simple things. Admit that you're a sinner. Believe in Jesus Christ and confess. Talk to God. Ask Him to forgive you and to be your Savior. And this morning, for those of you that know and have trusted Christ, and you desire to walk by faith, to have that eyes to see, and you see that faith opens your eyes. But faith trusts God, and then faith utilizes prayer. This is what I want you to do. We don't have our normal response time this morning, but you can right there at home. And what I want to encourage you to do is, if you want to walk by faith, you want to have those eyes to see, and you want to utilize prayer and trusting in God, how many of you will commit to 10 minutes a day, each day, in uninterrupted prayer? 10 minutes a day, each day, to say, I'm going to commit to praying, to acting on my faith, to utilizing this faith and trusting in God. So I'm going to pray at least 10 minutes a day, uninterrupted. Maybe you can do first and 10. 10 minutes when you first wake up. I guarantee you it might change your day to spend 10 minutes talking with the Lord before you spend 10 minutes looking at Facebook, watching the news. But act on that faith. And this morning, if you're trusting Christ as your Savior, or if you're going to commit to that 10 minutes each day, will you just put it in the comments? Will you be willing to say and let others see, you know what, I want to step out, I'm going to act on faith, and I want people to know that I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, or I am going to pray and utilize faith 10 minutes a day. Maybe just type it in a comment. so that we together might be able to pray for one another. So this week, as we walk by faith, let's have those eyes to see that God is 100% reality. His promises are true. And I can have hope and courage in the midst of all these circumstances. Will you sing, trust, and obey with us this morning? Provision this morning was a blessing. We hope that it encourages you. We hope that you were still able to worship. But like I said, we look forward to that day to be able to do this again in person. I thank these guys for being here. You definitely didn't want to have me sing. Thank Brother Ed for the work that he's put into helping our live stream go forward. But as we go through this time, we're here. We love you. We're praying for you. And if there's something that you need, please reach out. I've been so encouraged to see church members helping one another and those willing to go get something or provide even extra toilet paper for people that might need it. But not only for our members, if you know a neighbor, if you know someone around you, share that love with them. Even through this, we can see God save people alive. So this morning, we're going to close by singing that next verse, Trust and Obey. And then our worship service will be concluded. And until we know something different, we'll be worshiping this way. And so we will keep in contact with you, let you know as it goes. But let's sing, and then we will talk to you soon.
Living there.